Welcome to the Best Kept Secrets podcast, where we share our best kept secrets about life, love, God, and everything in between. Hi guys, welcome back to the Best Kept Secrets podcast. This is episode 3 of our new season and I'm so excited to have you guys yet again for another episode. On this podcast, we share our best kept secrets about a wide variety of topics in life, in love, in God, in everything in between. So thank you for being here. My guest today is someone that I am very, very, very excited to have here. She was very highly requested by you guys. So we've had you, we've listened, she's here, and we'll be discussing the topic of grief with none other than Kambua, who is a talented artist, is a mom, a wife, and just a gorgeous human being, like inside out.
Thank you.
I feel like one of the first times that I interacted with you,
yeah,
I was like, there's a grace you walk in when you enter a room.
Thank you.
That I was just like, I need some of that, God. Like, tap me into that. I need that.
Sharon, you're so kind. Thank
yeah.
you.
Welcome.
Asante. Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. So we're going to jump right in.
Yes, let's do it.
Grief. It's a lot, right?
It's heavy.
It's heavy. And I think I personally, I haven't experienced grief, not in my adulthood, but I have been around my friends and my family who have gone through grief. And I know that it's a very complicated feeling, emotion to process. And I think even because I have a background in psychology, I know even that psychologically it's a very packed emotion.
Right.
So I guess we can start by you just sharing your experience with grief with us. Mm-hmm. I do have one experience that I'll also share, okay, and then we can just continue from there.
I feel like as long as we're here on the journey of life, we experience grief. Sometimes it's closer than other times. So for as long as I can remember, I think grief was introduced to me years ago. What I clearly remember is losing my grandparents. And then it came closer home when I lost my dad in 2014. Mm-hmm. I think that's the first time that I really experienced the magnitude of grief and everything that comes with it. And then 2 years ago, I lost my son, Malachi. So that was the second time I experienced grief in that way, where it was so, so close to home.
Yeah.
But then, of course, just as you've said, sometimes we're not directly affected. It could be a friend. Mm-hmm. So you experience it in that way. So I have experienced it in, you know, far and closer and closer ways. But I guess the two instances where I lost people who are very closely related to me and are what I can say have made me really unpack grief and what it means to me and how it has impacted me.
Okay. I guess I like the word unpack because I feel like we need to unpack that. What are the things immediately when both instances happened, the ones that were close to you, what are the immediate things you felt and how did you process those immediate feelings?
I remember with my dad, when my dad passed, I remember the immediate feeling was I was numb. And so he passed on in the nighttime. So going through the hours of the early morning, I was awake. I remember feeling very exhausted but numb, like I was on autopilot.
Yeah.
And that was the feeling that carried me through the days that came.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting, Sharon, is I now in hindsight, I see that numbness as a gift that God gives. So I didn't know that that's what it was. But now when I look back, I realize that if I was able to feel everything in that moment, I don't think I would have survived it. But there was that numbness that made me, and it kept, you know, it got less and less as the days went by, as I fully understood that, you know, dad was gone and he was not coming back. But in the very beginning, I was just numb. I was crying a lot and everything, but I was numb. Like I was, you're getting by, you're literally gliding by one moment at mm-hmm. a time, a day at a time. I remember having the same feeling when I lost Malachi, where I was numb. But I think what I felt different with Malachi's loss was, I used to wake up and tell my husband, I felt like there were rocks piled on my heart. Mm. It's such a heaviness that you cannot, even getting out of bed is so difficult. Even making a decision that seems as simple as I need to take a shower or I need to eat, it's a place where people have to remind you to do certain things because you're literally surviving on, I don't know, I guess that grace that God gives, but you feel like you don't have the strength to do the simplest of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the numbness, the heaviness are things that have been consistent in the two times.
Okay.
Yeah.
In my experience,
yeah,
the one and only like closest person that I lost was my boyfriend.
Mm.
I was really young though. I was about 16.
Yeah.
I was in my last year of high school. And I remember when, so his sisters came to yeah. tell me in school, cause I was in school
yeah.
and he wasn't in school. He had just finished high school.
Yeah.
So they came and they told me about it. And I remember my first immediate feeling was, okay, no, you're lying.
Yeah.
I was like, no, you're lying. You're lying. You know? And even when I saw his sisters, I was like, okay, where is he? You like, wow. I thought they've come to like see me. I'm mm-hmm. in my last year. So
mm-hmm.
maybe they're coming to just like see me and
yeah.
whatever, talk to me, motivate me, all of mm-hmm. that, surprise me.
Yeah.
So the sister was like, yeah, I knew you weren't going to believe me. So I carried, the newspaper. So she showed me like his picture on the obituary section, yeah. right? So mm-hmm. that's when I was like, okay, I'm seeing this, but I still don't believe you.
Wow, the denial.
Yeah, the denial. I completely was just like, no, you're just lying to me. You're lying to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there was just like a lot of emotions even as we were going through that conversation with mm-hmm. them and they were crying and mm-hmm. I'm just seated there as well, numb.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at them and I'm like, hey, you guys, you must be lying to me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so they're like, okay, so they have to leave and I had to go back to class. And I think when they left, that's mm-hmm. when it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went straight to my friend and I was, because I had been called out of class. So my friends were waiting to hear, okay, what happened? Why were you being called out of class?
Mm-hmm.
And immediately I got to my friend, I just like broke down and yeah. I cried. I think now it hit me. Okay, so she might not be lying. He might actually be gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just didn't want to cause like commotion, whatever. Also, you know, high school, like if someone is crying, everyone is there just like, oh,
yeah, why is she crying?
Yeah. So yeah. they had to go and like hide me like behind the classes somewhere. Yeah. So we yeah. just like all cried together and they also couldn't believe it. So we had to go to the library to yeah. find a newspaper so I can show them and all of that. It was just a lot. Mm. But I relate with that first immediate reaction, just being a lot of numbness yeah. and just a lot of denial,
yeah.
a lot of confusion, mm-hmm. a lot of you wake up the next day and you still think they're there. You yeah. know, I've even been told by my friends who have gone through, they call
yeah.
and, you know, they hope that someone yeah. picks up and, yeah. you know, and eventually Safaricom gives out the number so someone new picks up, even if you're still calling years down yes, the line.
Yes, you know, I remember, now that you say that, I remember mm-hmm. I held on to, so I don't delete numbers mm-hmm. if I lose somebody that I yeah. love and I had their number. I never deleted
yeah.
it. Sometimes when you switch phones, it disappears or whatever. My dad was such a good friend of mine. I called my dad multiple times every day over the silliest things to the important things. So the many times I started to call him and then I'd catch myself like, who am I calling, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And those were triggers because it would shock you all over again, the reality that this person who was always there will never be there again.
Mm.
it's honestly, it was very, very shocking on many levels. Mm. Or meeting people who did not know that he had passed. Mm. Oh, how is your dad?
Mm.
And having to like count to 10 in my head and then respond, because when you're grieving, you can also be, it's easy to feel as though people just are just being mean.
Mm.
But then not necessarily, some genuinely just didn't know, you know?
Mm.
Yeah, so.
I think I want to also just touch on what you've said about feeling that people are just mean.
Mm.
And I think one of the emotions people don't know how to support other people through is grief.
Yeah.
I don't think we are told enough about how to support people who are grieving. Even as we speak now, I have two friends who are going through grief.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I ask God, okay, what do I tell them? What do I say? What do I do?
Yeah.
I don't want to trigger them. I don't want to sound inconsiderate or insensitive.
Yeah.
So what are the things you wish people did or mm-hmm. told you that you needed to hear in those moments?
Yeah. So I feel that I'm a believer. I mm-hmm. believe in Jesus Christ and everything that represents.
Mm.
But I feel that in that space of being Christians and believers, we tend to say things that are very inappropriate.
Yes.
They may be true,
mm-hmm.
but maybe not appropriate mm-hmm. for that moment.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most common ones is, "It is well."
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody has just lost somebody that they love, the word to say, the things to say to them are not, "It is well,"
mm.
because it feels like you're just trying to pacify my pain.
It doesn't feel like it's well.
It doesn't. And it's not in that moment. Yeah. In fact, scripture says, "Tell the righteous, it shall be well with them." It shall. Okay, in due time.
Yeah, in time.
Yes, in time it will. But in this moment, it's not. And we fail to acknowledge the person's pain.
Mm.
So that's a big one for me is, I I'd feel like I'd just close out when someone starts those conversations. It is well. My mind blocks you immediately because I was like, I don't think I can even trust you enough to bring you into my pain. Then the other thing is, as I said, when you're grieving heavily, you don't even know what you want yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So people, well-meaning, will say, "Tell me if you need anything. Call me if you need anything." Imagine I won't call you.
Yeah.
I won't tell you.
Because
number one, I don't know. Number two, even if I know, I don't have the energy.
Yeah.
It's really that place where you have to keep seeking that person out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably take them food, you know, take mm-hmm. them a hot meal. If they have a baby, hold the baby, let them take a shower. You're literally guiding somebody through life in a time where they're not able to guide themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're literally carrying that friend or that relative on their behalf, because usually you'll find that people who are grieving and are given, and you know, will say, "Oh, but I was there for her. I told her to tell me if she needed anything." She doesn't know what she needs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just, "Come sit with me."
Yeah.
You don't even have to say anything.
We don't even have to talk about that.
We don't even have to talk about it. I'm not saying come and throw a party in my house, no. But just come and be with me, you know? And you will start to see what I need. I might even be able to say some of the things that I need. So it's just that sensitivity of, I will be there and we'll figure this space out together, because nobody really has the answers on what to say or what not to say.
Yeah.
But then, of course, there's now other things which I feel are just a no-no, like, you know, you've lost a child and somebody tells you, "Usijali, Mungu atakupatia mwingine." Okay, great, thank you. But I needed to realize that this child that I have lost meant everything to me. And another child will never replace, like for me, will never replace Malachi.
Mm.
I have been blessed to have another beautiful baby, but she can never, none of my children can replace who Malachi is. They're all very special and very unique to me. So that thing of suggesting you'll replace or you'll move on and you'll forget, I find is very insensitive to people who are grieving.
I agree. I completely agree. And I think there's just not a lot of we just don't talk about it enough for people to know that that's just a very insensitive thing to say, and it just takes away from the person instead of pouring into them. When I went through that in high school, I think I had a different experience where my friends were actually really supportive. And I don't know if it's because we had that innocence that children have, because we were still children. We were under 18, we were children. But immediately it happened, like for the first maybe week, we all used to join our beds together and we'd all sleep in like one long bed together because they knew I would dream about
that
him.
Is precious.
So I would dream about him and I would see him in my dream. Sometimes it would be difficult dreams, sometimes it would be nightmares and whatever. And I think I only even just shared with one of them and I told them I keep seeing him in my dreams. And she was just like, okay. She went and told everyone else and we joined beds and, and we would just like sleep together. And in the morning, they'd just be like, are you okay? Did you see him in your dream? How are you feeling? And all of that. So I think it's just that it's less about the words that you say to the to the people, but more about your presence. You're just showing up for them.
Just being there. And nights are very hard when you're grieving. It's all that. It's the nightmares. It's the dreams. And or it's just the lack of sleep. I got serious insomnia when I lost Malachi. I couldn't sleep, but you're so exhausted but you cannot sleep. And so the nights were very hard. I remember my sisters, two of my sisters, when I say sisters, they're not blood sisters, they're people who we love each other. When I'd lost Malachi, they and my husband had to travel, so they stayed with me, and through the night, one would peek through, you know, Chungulia, is she awake? Is she okay? And I was obviously mostly not asleep, but just that comfort of knowing there are people here with me. They care. They probably don't know what to say or do, but they are here. It meant the world to me.
You didn't feel alone. I think that's very important, actually. I like that you mentioned earlier about our fellow Christian people. Who we love dearly. But can also say very triggering things. Yesterday, I watched a sermon that the guy was just talking about how he lost his wife to cancer. And at some point, he realized it was pointless to keep asking why. And there's this scripture that he shared, something about how... Let me just get it. I don't want to misquote what he said. It says, I do not concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself like a weaned child who no longer cries for its mother's milk. Like a, like a weaned child is my soul within me. Oh, Israel, put your hope in the Lord now and always. So is this something you went through, asking why? And do you think it's healthy to ask why?
That's a really good question. I think I, in the beginning, a little bit, my heart and my spirit wanted to know why. But I quickly got myself out of that place because I realized it was such a rabbit hole. And that is where people, I have found a lot of people get stuck in their grief. Is in the wanting to know why. And I honestly believe that as long as we're on this side of heaven, we might never fully know why. So I'm really grateful that I caught myself when I started to, I don't think there's anything, I won't say there's anything wrong with asking why, but be careful with your whys, because I feel like there are things, mysteries we might never understand that are too big for us to grasp now, that God withholds from us. So I stopped asking why. And when I stopped asking why, my journey to healing began. Because I'm trusting all my whys with God. I have many whys. It's not even about only about grief, you know, about many other things that have happened in my life. I have those whys. And I know that I can get stuck at a place because God, tell me why.
I can't move out of this place until you tell me why.
Exactly. Yeah. I need closure. Tell me why. And he's saying, how much do you trust me? So I had to say, God, I trust you with everything, even the things that I don't understand. Mm-hmm. And so I'll say, ask your whys, but know where to stop and know that we will never fully understand everything.
I think I definitely agree.
Yeah.
Also, were you ever angry at God? Because I know that I was.
Mm.
And I know, even just having conversations with my friends who have lost very dear people to them, a lot of their emotion is they're angry at God. Why would you take this person? Why would you let me go through this? Why? Yeah. You know, it's a lot of anger. So did you ever feel that, and how did you process it?
I'll be very honest and say that anger is the one emotion I've not experienced in my journeys through grief.
Mm-hmm.
My when I lost my dad, what I felt was disappointment. I was very disappointed because we had really stood at a place of faith for so long. And I believe God can do anything. And, you know, we stood on the word, we stood on scripture, people were praying. And so it felt like such a letdown. That's a feeling I remember, like, gosh, God, you know.
See, we've been praying. We've been praying. Like, yeah.
We've done everything you've asked us to do. And I'm really grateful for this one lady I met during the time when my father was in hospital. I met her. She was, her mother and her mother-in-law are both at the hospital. One was in ICU, one was in HDU. I believe they both rested or one rested. Mm-hmm. But this lady would see me at the hospital every day because my life revolved around the hospital, around my dad. And so she one day got the courage to come and talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, Kampo, I just want to have a minute with you. I usually see you here, but sometimes it's not the right timing because sometimes I just be crying. You know?
Mm.
So she found a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she tells me about her mother-in-law and her mother. And then she says, you know, Kambua, I'm so grateful that God has taught me that healing happens in two ways, mm-hmm. that he can heal us physically to continue with our work here on earth, or he can heal us totally by taking us to himself where there's no more pain, more sadness, no more crying.
Yeah.
And it's a form of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that I feel like is the word that completely set me free at the end of it, because I realized, oh, my dad, it's not that he died to like hopelessness.
Mm-hmm.
It's God healed him completely. My father is not in pain anymore. He's not struggling. He's rested in the Lord. And it gave me so much peace. And even now when it came to my child, it was very painful, very heavy. But I feel like I have grown in my relationship and in my walk with God to know that he doesn't do things to punish me, or he doesn't allow things. He's not a sadist sitting in heaven like, ha, ha, how much pain can I let you go through? No. He's saying that I live in a broken world and things are going to happen. But when they happen, he'll be right there in that mess with me.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be in that valley, in that furnace, whatever it is, he'll be right there with me. One of my cousins shared with me a scripture. I'll have to Google it. But it said that he sits with me in the thick darkness, because for me, my grieving my son felt like I was sitting in darkness for days on end. But hearing that God sits with me there, it gave me so much comfort that he sees me at whatever place I am at. Mm-hmm. So the reason why I didn't get angry was I knew that he was carrying me, he was lifting me, he was comforting me, he was watching over me, he was strengthening me, and even now he's still healing me. So I respect that people go through all sorts of different emotions, anger being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say the same for my journey. I have not felt angry towards God about any of it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. All right. Well, I feel like that still applies to the people who are feeling those feelings that he's capable of healing any sort of feelings that you're feeling, even anger.
Yeah,
he's able to also heal that feeling and or that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
I like that you've been talking about your healing journey. Are you able to share what that looked like? Some things that you did that can help someone who is in that moment right now.
Yeah.
Right now, I know that healing is not. It's continuous.
Yes.
You can never get to a point where you're like, now I'm fully healed. Now I'm just great. I'm 100%.
Yeah.
But especially in the beginning times, mm-hmm. what are the things you did to walk in your journey of healing?
Okay. Some of the practical things I did, some of my sisters, again, suggested that I do some therapy,
mm-hmm.
and specifically grief therapy. I was obviously open to that because I have been open to therapy in the past and just knowing how it helps you navigate different seasons of life. I had never thought that there is, you know, therapy for, you know, so specific, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
So I had to really go looking and I found somebody who helped me quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, for me, my sessions with this lady did was, I felt like she gave me the tools to, mm-hmm. you know, how do I move from this place mm-hmm. to this place? Okay, I'm going back to work. How does this look like? So just those very practical things. Healing for me has also just looked like diving more into my walk with God
mm-hmm.
and really being honest and vulnerable with where I am. And letting him know, you know, I have so many moments where I feel like I'll wake up and I'll still feel like I cannot go through this day because triggers, you know, triggers everywhere. But he gives me the strength that I need for that moment. Healing has also looked like finding safe spaces
mm-hmm.
Within my family, within my friends. People who will not judge me, people who will be kind, people who will also hold me accountable, people who will not allow me to stay in my house with my curtains closed for weeks on end, who will push me to get up and to keep going. Healing for me has also looked like my children have brought a lot of healing to me because as a mother, you're constantly just pouring yourself. And sometimes you realize you don't even have the luxury to feel your feelings, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So healing for me has looked a lot of many different ways. It has also been me getting back fully into the things that I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the music, it's the advocacy space, pouring my heart out into those things. And why that has been so important for me is because I remember feeling, it was such an emptiness when I lost my child. It was such an emptiness that for the first time I understood how people get into addictions to numb a pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that if I don't channel my energy into something positive, it will need an outlet. So for me, my outlet has been diving fully back into ministry,
mm-hmm.
diving fully back into advocacy, and it keeps me abuzz, it keeps me alive. So I feel like we have to be active participants in our healing. God gives it to us, yes. He's our healer.
Yeah.
But there's a role I need to play.
Mm-hmm.
It won't find me under my covers. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, okay, open your mm-hmm. eyes, take a shower, step out.
Get out of the house,
get
go
out of the house.
See the sun.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
see the sun, reconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Grief has, in some ways, cost me some friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which I've made my peace with allowing them to run their course. But others, which I realize now that I'm at this place where I'm more sober, for lack of a better word, I'm coming back to self, I realize, my friendship with Sharon means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
It has, it was probably dealt a blow because I was in a space. Maybe I can reach out now. So really doing the work in some of those areas has all been that melting pot of healing for me. Yeah.
Okay, that's so great. Thank you so much for sharing. I feel like someone somewhere will take what they need to take from this and be able to apply that in their lives.
Yeah.
I think for me, when it happened, I was so young, so I don't think I really looked at it as a healing journey.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a concept we were really like familiar with back then.
Yes.
But what I did a lot is that I journaled. And earlier this year, I found the journal.
Did you?
I did, and I carried it.
Oh my goodness. Are you going to read something?
I'm going to read the like a very short thing.
Okay.
I like journaling because, one, there are times I can't say words out to God. Like, it's just so much. I'm feeling so much. I can't even open my mouth and speak. So I write down my prayers or my feelings or however I'm feeling to God. And two, I like to journal because I like to look back, read back those things and be like, wow, okay, so these things happened and I was able to go through them and come out of the other side. And I'm grateful for that. It helps you with gratitude because in the moment that thing feels like really big. So as you can see, it's very old.
Oh my goodness.
It's very old. And then it's so like, I feel like there are some pages missing. I don't know. So yeah, I'm just going to read like a tiny bit. So this is in 2011. So I said, his name was Lenny for context. It's been 3 months and 6 days since you died. I cry less often these days, and I feel like God finally answered my prayer and gave me acceptance. I still do miss you a lot. I still feel lonely because I'm alone, but I know that God has got everything planned out for me. I'm sorry I didn't go to your funeral. My mom kind of backed out on me last minute. My mom refused for me to go for the funeral. Because she was like, first of all, you're 16. Why do you have a boyfriend and why didn't I know about him?
Wow.
Anyways, I did go see his grave later on. She didn't want me to go. I don't know why, but I've learned that mothers know best. Kina, Cindy and me are planning to go visit your grave. I have so much fear in my heart and I dread the day, but I know that I'll have to face my fears and go there. School is not bad and my mocks are coming up soon. You remember when you told me that you don't want to come to my school in second term because you want me to concentrate? Guess you really meant it. Basically, nothing much has happened in my life of late. I told you my life sucks without you. I still think about you and sometimes I even dream about you. I hope that where you are happy and stress-free. I still can't forget how your sister told me to revenge your death and just go for my dreams and my books and do what I can do for my sake. I look forward to the day that I will see you again, but till then, bye. So I'm just like, first of all, at the age of 16, how was I able to process even my feelings and put them into words?
Yeah.
But I like that I have that for me to be able to go back and read and be like, okay, God, you were actually hearing me even back then when I was 16. And so that's definitely a good practice to do when you're in your healing journey. I know we've talked a lot about God on this episode.
Yes.
What are the lessons he has taught you in your healing journey that you can share with us?
Well, first, I'm glad we've talked a lot about God because, you know, especially going through grief, I remember thinking, I don't know how people get through it without God. I don't know. But some of the lessons have been, number one, to trust him fully. Even when I don't understand, to trust that he's still in control. I've also learned, or he's teaching me, that he is a healer and his healing is complete. When he heals fully. Scripture says, I am the God who heals you, not the God who sort of heals you or who partially heals you. I'm the God who heals you. It's complete. And while I may not attain that healing instantaneously, I know that I'm progressively getting there. So just trusting, mostly trusting the heart of God towards me, brings us back to, you know, in what we were talking when I was trying to explain why I've not been angry and bitter, is that I trust his heart for me. So those have been lessons that have been affirmed and reaffirmed. I've also learned that God really gives when he says new mercies every morning. He really gives that, because mornings for me, especially post losing my son Malachi, mornings were so significant. There were those, it was those moments when I tell my husband, I have rocks on my heart. It's his mercies every morning that gave me the strength for another day and another day. So, you know, I guess maybe for someone who is in it right now, in the thick of it, is knowing and trusting that God does give us new mercies every day. And what that looks like is just trusting him moment by moment. You don't need to worry about how will I make it to next year? How will I make it to next month? It's just the now that he'll give you that grace for right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll give you a grace for the next moment. And before you know it, you're looking back and you're like, oh, it's been a year. For me, it's been 2 years. And I'm like, wow, I don't know how that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it first happened, those first few hours, I was like, my life is over.
Mm-hmm.
But here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good. Because again, even for me, it's been so, I can't even count how many years.
Yes.
But I remember even me in that moment, mm-hmm. I was just like, where do I go from here?
Yeah.
Right. And here we are now. And yeah. It's a little bit easier on us.
Yeah.
So what we do on this podcast is that we share our best kept secrets mm-hmm. about this topic that we've just spoken about.
Yeah.
So if you were to share just one thing that is your best kept secret about grief, grieving with God,
yeah.
healing and all of that, what would that be? You can look at the camera direct and tell them.
One of my really good friends who has had her fair share of grief said to me that healing is not linear. What that means is that it's not a straight line to healing. Some days it looks like this, some days it looks like this, some days it looks like jumbled up, but you're still moving forward towards your healing. And I think that's what God has also taught me on my journey, is that even in the moments where I feel like I may wake up today and just feel so paralyzed by, I don't know, pain and grief and whatnot, I'm still moving closer to healing. So for somebody who's watching this and just feeling like I'm not healing, I'm not making any progress, imagine you are. You're every day that you wake up, every day that you purpose to live, you are moving a step towards your healing. It doesn't look clean. It's messy. Healing is messy, Sharon. But, you know, what matters is the end product, is the fact that you will get to a place where you look back and realize that I actually have made strides towards healing. So, yeah, healing is not linear, but it's still happening.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
What's yours?
Mine is something that I actually had yesterday, and it made so much sense to me.
Yeah.
And basically, it was the quote was just that, time doesn't heal all wounds, God does.
Yes.
And I think, especially for people who are grieving, they are told a lot that time is going to, you're going to get better with time. Time will heal you. Time heals all wounds. And I that never happens. You know, it can be 10 years, it can be 20 years, and you're still going through the healing journey.
Yeah.
So if you depend on time,
mm-hmm.
you might probably not heal. But if you depend on God to heal you, you're most probably going to heal. So time doesn't heal all wounds, God does.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. Because if you think about it, Sharon, I know we need to wind up. If you think about it, there's probably somebody you know in your life who got stuck in grief because of thinking time will heal. And people tell you time will heal. But you just find that that person, their life literally stops, because grief will cripple you.
Mm-hmm.
It can. But when we allow the one who says he's a healer to heal us, then we can heal. Then we can learn to move forward with the situation, but with a lot of grace, because it's what God pours into those painful parts and those places and things that we cannot articulate. He knows them, and he keeps working on them day by day. So yeah, God heals, not time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any other closing remarks? Any more gems to drop? Because me, I can just stay here and listen.
I mean, thank you for allowing us to have this conversation, because I feel like, especially as Africans, we don't like to talk about grief.
Mm-hmm.
We gloss over it. We you know, someone has just lost their husband and you want to tell them just, ni sawa sasa tuendele na maisha. You don't allow, we don't allow each other to speak when we've been, because when you lose someone, death is so final.
Mm-hmm.
And when we silence each other, it's that culture of silence that we have with very many issues.
Mm.
And grief is what falls in there. It's almost like a taboo to talk, to say, I'm grieving, I'm mourning my child, I'm mourning my boyfriend, I'm mourning my husband, I'm mourning my... It's like a taboo. So I'm glad that you're doing this and that we're opening up spaces for people to speak. Because when we speak, then we're able to find healing. Mm. But as long as we don't speak, as long as we act like it's not... You know, let's not talk about it. Let's not. Covered wounds don't heal well, is what I was once told. You need to let it air and heal. So here we are, letting it air and hopefully giving somebody else that opportunity by listening to this to know that, yes, it's a wound, but let it air, let it heal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that covered wounds don't heal thing, amazing.
Yeah.
Also, thank you for doing this and for coming on here and sharing your story, sharing your journey with us.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not necessarily the easiest thing to talk about, not like you're waking up, you know, excited to talk about this. So thank you for sharing your heart with us.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast. I'm so excited.
I'm so excited that we are your first podcast.
Thank you, Sharon. You're so awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much, guys, for watching. I hope that you have learned something or taken away something from this episode. I hope that if you're in your healing journey, that you find the healing, that even in this process, that you find God and he finds you. And I pray that things work out for you. And thank you again, Kambua, for being with us and for sharing with us. Mm-hmm. I'll see you guys in our next episode. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Leave us a comment for those of us who are watching on YouTube. And if you're listening to us on our podcast platforms, thank you for tuning in. I'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.